You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Diamondbacks baseball.
And he corks one way back, and it is gone!
The D-backs BP show.
Fly ball to left, hit pretty well by Lamb at the wall, it's gone!
Diamondbacks radio network.
There's a shot to center field, Parr on the run, can't get it, he gets by him, all the way to the wall, bounces more towards center, Marte turns second, he heads for third, Tony Perez-Chica's racing into the plate, here comes the throw, it's high, he is safe!
D-backs BP show.
Welcome to our weekly Gab Fest as we get ready. Not annual, weekly.
We've been cut back to once a year.
You know something more? You know something we don't?
Sorry to tell you guys.
Stay hot. Right out of the box.
Our producer engineer is Leo Gilmartin. Our technical director is Luke Robbins. With the television voice of the Diamondbacks, Steve Berthiaume, I'm Mike Farron. And guys, we've gone from ideas to proposal. It's not quite plan yet, but we will have plenty on what Major League Baseball is proposing to the Players Association on potentially getting the 2020 season started. In fact, MLB insider Jeff Passan from ESPN is going to join us in just a couple of moments. But we kind of speculated last week that this date was coming, and yesterday was the day that, Bert, that owners finally voted on a proposal that they would take to the Players Association to try and get the 2020 season off the ground.
And, Mike, according to several reports out there, that proposal was at least in small part discussed today with the union. I imagine the ownership side is doing most of the talking and the players union most of the listening. But from what everyone is reporting, there were very little, if any, economic issues discussed today. It was more about health concerns, safety protocol, and testing that was center stage today. And the talks will continue all week long. I think it's also important to point out that this is not going to be a very optimistic week. I think everybody needs to keep that in mind. Baseball will not be putting its best foot forward this week. It will be easy to get a little pessimistic, a little cynical this week while the two sides try and hammer out some kind of revenue agreement. So it's important not to get too caught up in the day-to-day and realize that this, much like the COVID-19 pandemic, will change some point over the next week or two.
No, I think it's a really good point that Bert makes, Leo, in that you know, we get caught up in negotiations and we can get caught up in the differences that people have of opinion. But we went through this same thing, 6 weeks ago when Major League Baseball and the Players Association tried to get an agreement on what would happen, in time for what should have been opening day. And while they were apart on several issues, they were able to get something done by March 26. So we should, while there's going to be probably acrimony and some public negotiation, you shouldn't let it color our judgment overall.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good first step. You know, that's great that the first step has been taken, and no one thought that this process was going to be smooth or easy, that there were going to be some bumps and some growing pains and some hurt feelings maybe, but then there's a lot of different, like you said, a lot of different opinions out there, but we have a first step. We have a proposal, which is good.
And it's also, Mike, I'm sorry. I think it's also important to point out that if you're going to meet your timelines, which seemed to be spring training 2.0 starting somewhere on or about June 10th, and then the regular season opening up the first week of July, that gives you a negotiating window here of somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks, maybe closer to two. So if something doesn't get done today or tomorrow, it's not the end of the world. This is part of a process, and it might take a couple of weeks.
Jeff Passan, the MLB insider from ESPN, is on the line with us to help update us on the latest. Jeff, welcome to the D-backs BP show. Thank you very much for joining us. We know that Major League Baseball and the Players Association.
I got a quick question here. Who was saying what he just said?
Steve Berthiaume.
That was Steve Berthiaume. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Depends if you liked
Hi,
it or
Steve.
Not.
Steve, I'm great. Steve, that was the first thing I heard, and it was a greater insight than I've heard from Mike in the 15 or 20 years that I've known.
Well,
him now, so.
Jeff, it's Jeff. It's like you've been listening to the show for years now.
I want to point out that it's the first time Bert hit a home run, the first time you ever heard him talk. It's the only one he's ever hit. He's the Dwayne Kuiper of broadcasters.
That's right.
He homered off you. It makes me Steve Stone, I guess. So.
We'll make the bobblehead next year wearing the Indians uniform.
All right.
He's going to show up to opening day this year with a Tuffy Rhodes jersey on, and no one's going to understand why.
Hey, those were off good. Jeff, what did you learn, if anything, about today's virtual meeting? It's nice to see that MLB and the Players Association are using Zoom like everybody else.
It was not highly contentious.
Well, that's a start.
It was more, yeah. I mean, considering, you know, the way Monday went Monday was sort of this ethereal contention, too. It wasn't like, besides sniping back and forth in person, it was the inevitability of some sort of a plan coming out that Major League Baseball was going to propose because its owners say that they're going to lose money if games are played in front of no fans this year. Finally getting out there and running into the large bat of Tony Clark, who did with it what he did with many fastballs back in his playing days, which was take an enormous swing, and some would say connect, and some would say whiff wildly. And it really depends on your perspective in the situation, which is a fascinating element of this. And this is the case, guys, not just in baseball, but across sports. Where do you fall on the labor divide? Do you stand with the players? Do you stand with the owners? Do you stand with the billionaires? Do you stand with the millionaires? Or in this case, in the middle of a global pandemic, do you sit there and just look at both of them and say, what are you doing? Just get baseball back on the freaking field, please. For God's sake, just do it.
Well, Jeff, how much do you think that the CBA being up in December 2021 is impacting negotiations right now? I mean, the players' union obviously has that in the back of their minds that, look, we're going to go through a much more serious and involved discussion like this in another year and a half.
Yeah, I don't know that that's at the forefront of their minds right now, but I think that they certainly, it's almost like this subconscious thing. You can't ignore it. You have to remember what works, right? What is going to behoove the whole sport and make us personally, because we're advocating on behalf of our union and our brethren, put us in a better position, but also advantage the sport as well. I was talking to somebody yesterday on the player side, and one of his arguments was, well, you know, players have finite careers. A year of a player's career, when the average career is, you know, 4 or 5 years, is a lot. And if we miss that, that is a huge deal for us. And so we, you know, the owners are going to be around for a while. That's what owners do. And my retort to him was, but hasn't the union long been advocating this notion that it wants to help steer the game in the right direction, and it wants to be, the people who are calling out the imbalance in teams and trying to win ball games and competitiveness and anti-competitiveness sometimes. And I thought that was like a reasonable point. Everybody involved should be in this for the long, for the long haul. Whether you are a short-timer baseball player, whether you are a longtime veteran and someone who's going to be around for the next 15 years, if you care about the game, if you respect the game, then you know the damage that would be done if there is no baseball played in 2020 because of money.
Yeah, and we're visiting with Jeff Passan from ESPN, the MLB insider there. And, you know, Jeff, I think you hit on what's, you know, kind of the key point. And I think it's interesting that so much of this discussion has mirrored the way we've discussed about what's happened in the pandemic, right? The first thing was discussing health and the security of players, and then certainly the Players Association had several members come out yesterday and talk about that. And now it's all in the finances. Does it seem to you that the financial divide between owners and players would be a greater hurdle at this point than that of ensuring the safety and testing for the players?
Yes. No question about it. And I think that the players, let me just come out and say this first, because I don't want this point to be lost. The financial issue, guys, is not just one with the players. It's one with the owners, too. In fact, the owners are the ones who are sort of holding the cudgel here and trying to force this, which I found to be really right. So you have this player group that has been gifted this opportunity to make it strictly about health. Mm-hmm. If you make it strictly about health, safety, well-being, this is important to us, this is our lone priority, this is what we're here for, this is what we want. I know there are people out there who see the coronavirus and say, oh, it's just the flu. I'm sorry, there are not a lot of those people. I think a lot of us are understandably concerned for our own health, our own safety, our family's health, our family's safety. These are all very relatable things that the players could say. It's not relatable, guys, to say, I just don't know how to divvy up my billions of dollars. That is not something that's going to sell well in the public. I just want to keep my kids and wife healthy. Sells pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so when Tony Clark went swinging yesterday, as strong as he did, as hard as he did, I thought that right there was off the message that the players needed to be there. And I understand he was trying to stick up for his union. You know, you've got Andrew Cuomo coming out and saying, well, the players want money. Today you have J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, mm-hmm. coming out and saying, well, the players need to accept a deal. I don't know how this always ends up on the players. It just kind of inevitably does. And it's unfortunate that we are winding up talking about money here. But the truth is, the health and safety stuff, I think, is going to get taken care of. The money stuff is where there needs to be compromise.
Well, Jeff, let's look at it from the other side of the table now. What might be the concerns for a large market team like, say, the Dodgers or the Red Sox versus a smaller market team like the Pirates, maybe the Marlins, two or four teams that have vastly different payrolls and different revenue streams? What are their concerns on their side of the table?
Well, it's interesting that the concerns for the Marlins are just ever present, because their television deal, local television deal, is a disaster. Their stadium debt is a mess.
Like, we paid you more.
They're in bad financial shape. The Yankees and Dodgers, though, are really interesting, Bert, because what we see with them is full or nearly filled stadiums every night, and they're two of those teams out there that derive a pretty decent chunk of change from that gate revenue, whether it's tickets, parking, concessions, all the things that are involved with the ballpark experience. And they're not going to have any of that this year. And yet, because their television contracts with the YES Network and with Sportsnet LA or whatever it is that people try to watch Dodgers games on and get blacked out from, because the television contracts are so large financially, they may need to take some of that money and subsidize other teams for it. And that does not sit well with teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. And I understand that. But what all of this ultimately comes back to is this principle, or should come back to, is this principle of shared sacrifice. And I know it is so naive of me to say something like that. Like, these people are billionaires for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's not because they've shared, and it's not because they've sacrificed. But I think they recognize that if there is no baseball this year, then the financial straits that they are in personally and the industry is in put a lot of teams in peril of going into bankruptcy. And again, you can argue bankruptcy is just a change of owner, but the franchise values are going to go down for these teams and for this industry. And thus, there is great incentive for the owners to avoid a situation where something like that happens.
I was hoping you'd be far more positive like your article was today, Jeff, but thanks for being Debbie Downer on this. We really appreciate it.
In fact, let me just say something. That last point is about as positive a point as you can possibly make, because when the downside disincentive is as strong for both parties as it is, the incentive to strike a deal and thus get baseball back on the field only increases. Yeah. That's why I think there's going to be baseball this year. It's
so
not
the alternative. The alternative, Jeff, would be worse for both sides, is what you're saying.
Correct. The alternative to a deal, the best alternative to a negotiated agreement is just utterly awful for both of them. And because that alternative is so bad, it increases theoretically the likelihood of them agreeing on an actual deal.
Jeff, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being an opening act for a Hall of Famer. We will talk to you again soon.
Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, see ya.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Passan from ESPN, a good friend with some insight there.
We'll
visit
the man
with Jason
on again. What are you doing? Why are you abusing him?
Because he abused me.
Fine.
Jason Stark from The Athletic, the Hall of Famer, joins us next. This is the D-backs BP Show.
Diamondbacks baseball. Diamondbacks baseball. This is the Diamondbacks BP Show. Diamondbacks Radio Network.
Jason Stark from The Athletic is scheduled to join us here in just a moment. We will talk to him a little bit about what happened today and what is going on with Major League Baseball and with the Players Association and what they're attempting to do to get ready for a potential 2020 season. Some interesting information came out today, guys, from Governor Doug Ducey. Governor Ducey saying today that after May 15th, that professional sports will be allowed here in Arizona. I've got a statement here from Derek Hall. Did you want to read this, Bert, or can I do it? Is it okay if I read it? I just want to make sure that you
Mike.
Were.
This just is clear from, it with Leo first. That's all we have.
President
as
CEO.
As long as we give it its due attention, I'm all for it.
President CEO of the Diamondbacks, Derek Hall, saying, I was pleased to hear the governor's comments on the state's willingness to allow sporting events in a controlled environment. We've been in constant communication, and he has consistently shown cooperation and support to us and league leadership. Both he and I have made it clear we are more than willing to be a part of a solution if there is a need for us to host more teams or games. So that's from
that
Derek
last Hall. Sentence is very intriguing, Mike, because as we've mentioned on the show, considering what's happening in California, you might have several teams that need a place to play.
Yep. Yeah. Well, L.A. County today extended their stay-at-home order until the end of July, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's one of the things that you could see potentially a team like the Los Angeles Dodgers would be having to find another place to play some home games. Now, maybe they could do that in Anaheim. Anaheim has certainly said that it is potentially open. Gavin Newsom, the governor of the state of California, has been in contact with the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, and they have discussed some possibilities of what would happen, but they know that MLB is not interested in violating any state or local orders as well. So it's worth bringing up in that, Bert. We are very pleased to be joined now by the Hall of Fame baseball writer for The Athletic. Our very good friend Jason Stark is with us. Jason, Mike Farron, Steve Berthume, Leo Gilmartin, how are you? Safe and sound?
Gentlemen, everybody's healthy here. How about you guys?
Doing great, Jason. Good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
I guess, first and foremost, I know you've had a lot of conversations with people from MLB and the Players Association over the last couple of months about what could happen. What was your reaction to, first, the idea for a 2020 season and some of the comments that came out afterwards, both yesterday and today?
All right, well, if we're examining the plan in a vacuum, sounds good to me, right? Sounds mm-hmm. sensible to think start some sort of spring training in 3 weeks or so, get started on the 4th of July, play essentially half of the season, and be able to start the postseason basically in October and run into just maybe early November, like all that, like the idea of regionalizing the schedule as much as possible. All of that stuff sounds good. Seems sensible. It's when you start getting to the details and wondering whether there's an agreement out there that I think everybody gets nervous.
That's the biggest thing, and we have been talking a lot about that because obviously it seems like the financial considerations are the most challenging in this, Jason. Obviously, we've seen a better relationship over the last 25 years between baseball and the Players Association. How tenuous is their relationship at this point? Is there a path to a potential agreement here, or does this feel a bit like 94 all over again?
Oh, it feels like it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean there isn't a path. There needs to be a path. And, you know, I'm still holding out hope that no matter how it looks right now, there will be a path to that end of it. If you just take a step back and think about it logically, how bad is the look if they can't figure out the money mm-hmm. and they can figure out everything else in this time and this place? I just can't envision that once we get a couple of weeks down the road, the pressure internally and externally isn't so intense to figure out the money that sane minds can't do that. I'm not confident. I mean, that their relationship is as bad and as distrustful as it's been in really a long time, maybe since, I mean, you talked about 25 years. There was a big strike in 94, 95. This might be as bad as it's been since then. But that doesn't mean there isn't a way to make a deal. I mean, I've covered a lot of labor, way too much labor, and there have been a lot of deals that have sprung out of distrustful relationships.
Well, Jason, based on your long labor history, where might you think the ground is upon which the owners and the players are most likely to find common ground? As Jeff Passan put it, an equitable shared sacrifice.
Yeah, you know what puzzles me, Steve, is I don't understand exactly why Major League Baseball would start by rolling out a proposal built around a concept that they know the union will not accept, cannot philosophically accept. Doesn't mean it's not sensible. I mean, in a vacuum, different parties, different world, I actually like the idea of saying, this is what we're going to earn, here's how much you get, here's how much we get. But I don't see how the philosophy of that is possibly acceptable. I don't see how they have enough time to provide the kind of information the union will demand before it would even consider it. So how do you start the conversation with an idea that can't go anywhere? I mean, I think it's a way of signaling to the union that we need to find a formula. If you don't like our formula, you come up with a formula. But, just talking to the people at the union since that agreement in March, they're pretty dug in on the idea that they thought they settled this part. So, I mean, you're asking me where the common ground is? I honestly don't know.
Jason, what do you think the progression of these talks will be? What do you think it'll look like? What do you think the timeline will be? But will there be stages? Will there be waves of information, or at least optimism weighed against pessimism?
I think initially there's going to be a lot of pessimism and a lot of noise. I think one thing we should keep in mind here is that these dates that you've heard, spring training in June, opening day July 4th, they're extremely tentative. They are not firm. They are adjustable. I think there's a strong likelihood for lots of reasons that they get nudged back in some way. And so if they do, that does provide more time. But I thought today was interesting because from what we're hearing, it was not a big talk about economics. It was a talk about what I think is actually the most formidable obstacle, and that is health concerns. How to keep players safe, how to reassure players that they're not going to test positive and infect family, or how players at risk can be protected. I honestly think that's a bigger obstacle for this reason. I know the money seems like it's always the story. We always follow the money, and there's obviously huge disagreement about that piece of this. At least these are two sides who can control that part of it. I don't know how much control they have over the virus. I don't know how much control they have over available testing and tracing and all the stuff they're saying that health officials have told them they need to do. So the fact that was where they started, I thought was highly significant.
We're visiting with Jason Stark, the Hall of Fame baseball writer from The Athletic, for another moment. And I agree. I mean, it seems like as much as we have focused on economics, because that seems to be the biggest draw, that at least that they had things in the right place in terms of the order of importance, right? That the health thing gets to that point. In terms of, though, the financials and common ground, is there a plan? Can we look to the draft plan at all to see something that might work in a compromise where everybody gets their money, but maybe it's not cash up front? Or is that too simplistic to think that just deferred payments would make things easier?
Yeah, that's an idea rolled out by our friend Joel Sherman, mm-hmm. Mike. And I like the concept. Hey, they've agreed on that concept. And the fact that they have that model in place, I think, should always make us feel like it's a model they could potentially rely on again. But this is a slightly different set of circumstances, because you've got small markets saying, we can't do this in a situation where we have no fans. We cannot have all cost, no revenue, because our TV deals aren't enough. So, I mean, they've got to have help, not just from players in terms of salary, but in terms of the Yankees helping the Indians and the Rays in terms of sharing local TV money. That is just as big an obstacle. So, there's all of that in play, and I don't even know that you could solve the player salary issue if the owners can't solve that issue. I felt like Joel's idea was an incredibly reasonable, thoughtful, creative way to look at this. do we think that creative, thoughtful, reasonable solutions are what these two sides are looking for? I don't know.
Well, I will say this. I mean, both sides love precedence, right? And there's now precedence in that. And we've heard the commissioner talk about that an awful lot this year when it came to penalties. And he's an attorney, so it's going to it figures. And one of the reasons why the players have balked at the revenue split is because there's precedence involved in it, because it tends to lead to a cap. So if we can, at least they've done that one time, and they've made it through. So
yeah, you're exactly right. I'd love to connect those dots. I just think it's too soon to know whether they're connectable. Early indications would be that's not what they're thinking, but they'll be looking for Plan B, C, D, E, F, G, and X in a couple weeks.
Well, they've got about 2.5 weeks to get there, and then it's really going to start to get nerve-wracking time.
Jason, we appreciate the time. It is good to catch up with you. Stay safe, and hopefully we will see you soon.
Next Phillies game.
I would love to see you guys at a ballpark. Be well.
All right, take
care.
Thanks,
Jason.
Jason Stark, the Hall of Fame baseball writer from The Athletic, joining us for a few moments here. This is the D-backs BP Show.
Diamondbacks baseball. The D-backs BP Show. Diamondbacks Radio Network.
By the way, guys, I just got a text from Jason Stark about, I said, hey, thanks for coming on. And he said there's a vicious Scrabble game going on at his house, and he said that he didn't think anybody even noticed he was gone.
he went back to the board, and all the words had changed.
That's
not an X in
Scrabble,
that word.
Right? You got to find those two-letter words that are lots of points. Isn't QI, isn't that one of those words that you score well on?
Let me tell you right now, the wife, Cindy, has turned into one of the all-time Words with Friends champions.
Oh.
She's trouncing the neighbors in Words with Friends.
I should get her to play my nephew, Theo, who is quite the Words with Friends player. He beats up on my wife, Erica, an awful lot at it, but I think he cheats. So
I did that for about a day and a half, I discovered I am really, really bad at it. I'm just not good.
What's the old Hollywood Henderson line about Terry Bradshaw where he said he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A? That's me.
I'm pretty much there too.
D-backs catcher Steven
explains a lot.
D-back, I'm such a wordsmith, Bert. D-backs catcher Steven Vogt is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll visit with Steven about where he is in the winter and get his take on what he's heard here as of late. But there are big events that are coming this week still in D-backs land, Bert, including the Throwback Thursday game on Fox Sports Arizona Thursday night, Game 5 of the 2001 National League Championship Series.
That's right. You'll have Throwback Thursday, Fox Sports Arizona, every Thursday when they draw the number for the 50-50 raffle. So we invite everybody to participate. Get on there. Get the whatever you want. You know, the 80 for 20, that's the best deal, I think. But the great news about that is, and the money is matched by the Arizona Diamondbacks Foundation, is that some of the winners have been a health care worker, a firefighter. So that's really been a big success. So thanks to everybody over there at Fox Sports Arizona for that. And coming up on Monday, I think Leo has this marked down on his calendar. It's the anniversary of Randy Johnson's perfect game. So Arizona Sports 98.7 will have a perfect day with guests all day long, including the big chatty himself, Randy Johnson, will take part. And then they will re-air the game later that night at 6 o'clock. So that's coming up Monday.
I remember that day well.
Do you most remember about that day?
Having to go to the bathroom about the eighth inning.
Who could forget?
Probably about the sixth or seventh.
Why did you not share this when we did this as part of Gubb's Greatest Leo
Gil
the
Martin,
other night,
everyone?
Leo?
Well, it never came up, but I remember that. I do remember saying, "I better not move."
Well, let me add this: since we're talking about games you can watch on the internet on the www, I don't know if you guys have seen the D-backs YouTube page. Have you seen this Between the Seams? This
is I did not get a chance to watch it yet, but this is with Luke Weaver, correct?
It's awesome, and it's Luke sitting just looking at the camera, holding baseball, and talking about how he learned, I believe it was his curveball grip, and how he learned to throw the pitch, and he talked about learning it from Adam Wainwright when he was with the Cardinals, how he throws it, why he throws it, what he does. So that's on the D-backs YouTube page. It's called Between the Seams, and we should have more episodes coming up. Merrill Kelly will be there, Alex Young as well. So check it out with Luke Weaver on the D-backs YouTube page. It's a really, really cool segment if you're a baseball fan and you wonder about pitch grips and how guys maneuver baseballs. That's some really, really good stuff from Luke.
You know, I'm down with anything from Luke. He's solid.
He's a very good dude.
Yep, entertaining, informative. Anything with him, I'm down for.
I don't think he's talking about you,
we
Luke
have
Robbins.
A lot of guys.
I think he's talking about Luke Weaver, not Luke Robbins.
I'm sorry.
We have a lot of guys on our team that are sneaky funny. Like, we have some sneaky funny guys like Luke, Carson Kelly. Jake Lamb is very kind of sneaky, quiet, funny. Like, that is a transcendent, there's a big word for you, Mike, personality in the clubhouse, a sneaky funny. Your thoughts?
That is true. I think there are some guys with good
sense. Did I say Luke Robbins?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying Luke Robbins was giving you the thumbs up on saying we love Luke, Leo.
Stay with us here.
I know it's your first day in radio.
What's happened, Mike,
I'm sure you've noticed,
that Leo has shaved his beard, and that has thrown him
off kilter.
The beard, which was taking over not just his head but his entire body, is now gone. I know this is on the radio side, but we have our little Zoom windows up, and Leo looks like a different person, frankly.
You've gone to the goatee, it appears.
Back to the goatee.
Or the Van Dyke, I guess. That's the right?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing together.
But you didn't necessarily say I look better. You just said I look different. So anyway.
For the purposes of radio, we'll say you look better.
Thank you.
And I want to reiterate something we said a couple of minutes ago, that Governor Ducey today spoke about the next stages in Arizona's plan in the recovery from the shutdown from COVID-19, and that the state of Arizona has met all of the requirements for the first stage of reopening. And so one of the things that he said is starting on May 16th, professional sports can come back to the state of Arizona. We read some comments from Derek Hall earlier, but that's certainly a good sign, at least in general, the fact that both hospitals are in good shape, that people seem to have taken social distancing seriously to this point, and they're supposed to continue that, and that we seem to be through at least cautiously into a good spot. I know he said we're confident about what we did, but I don't want to seem like we were overconfident about what our choices were or where we are going now. And I think that was important in looking at this going forward, because we'd love to be able to continue to have things trend in the right direction so that we can have a baseball season, we can have sports back. I think that would be great. And not to mention, hey, we're going into summer, which is our social distancing time anyway. So.
That's right. 3 months inside. Well, they've certainly made a lot of progress in terms of testing and the availability of the testing, so that's been a very good step in the right direction the last few weeks.
Yeah, it is a very, very good news in that regard. So so that's some of what's been going on around both the Diamondbacks and around the state of sports. We're going to visit with Stephen Vogt of the Diamondbacks, their new catcher, in just a little bit. We'll get his thoughts on what a potential plan could look like for this season and what he's been up to. That is next. This is the D-backs BP show.
Diamondbacks baseball. Diamondbacks baseball. The D-backs BP show. Diamondbacks Radio Network.
Well, we are very pleased to be joined now by one of the new members of the Diamondbacks organization. I think people have been getting to know him around town. He's been doing some work, some charitable work, trying to help out, especially folks on the front line here in battling COVID-19. And he is one of the finest people in baseball. I've known him for a long time, and I can, for what it's worth, I can give him the personal seal of approval. So if you trust, do you trust me on that?
What is that worth exactly?
It's not worth what it's printed on. So joining us now, the fine catcher for the Diamondbacks, Stephen Vogt, is with us. Stephen, Mike Farron, Steve Berthume, Leo Gilmartin. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Other than, you know, I don't know, Mike, that seal of approval for you. You just kind of pumped me up a little bit, and then I don't know, might have brought me back down a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm sorry that you have to be associated with me at all. So,
Steve, he's already used up Jim Duquette's limit of your appearances on the pre and post game. We haven't even had a season yet, and he's already gone through his Stephen Vogt allotted run. So I want you to feel free to say no to him from now on.
I appreciate getting that hall pass, but I might be one of the few, but I truly enjoy talking with Mike Farron. So that's that's a fact.
Speak the truth. That now, for sure. So, Stephen, I'm sure you've probably, I don't know if you've been in contact with anybody with the Players Association today, but I'm sure you've been paying attention to the news and what's going on. What's been your reaction to the, I guess we've gone from idea to proposal now on the 2020 season. What stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously I try to stay as close contact as possible. There hasn't been a whole lot of communication today. But for me, the most important things, I think, were the things that got proposed, and that's the health and safety and getting those ideas, the testing. You know, those are the most important facts we need to iron out. And so, you know, really, at the number one, it's the safety of everyone involved. It goes beyond the players, and that's something we are very aware of, down to the clubhouse managers, the security that's still going to be working the stadium. Everyone's safety is our number one priority first. So I was really happy to see that was kind of the main points that were discussed today.
Steve, do you have any idea, or has it been explained to you or any of the other players about exactly how testing might work?
No, you know, that's the thing is we haven't heard anything. You obviously hear rumors, and, you know, there was nothing official proposed before today, so we really don't know anything. You know, you hear all the speculation. I love stirring the pot when everybody starts speculating. That's one of my favorite things to do because
you're on the right show.
Yeah, it just makes it a lot of fun to stir the pot and speculate more and more. But, you know, we've heard everything from daily tests to testing every couple days to, you know, testing when here or there, you know, quarantine here, that, you know, I don't know. So everything's kind of gotten brought up. And I think that's another one of our main focuses is that we don't want to be taking more tests than what we can. You know, we want to make sure that we're getting the amount of tests that are provided for us, and we're not necessarily taking them from other groups that may need them more.
Bennett, freeze.
Sorry, my son's riding his scooter around the front yard, and he just about cut out in the middle of the road and went in dad mode real quick.
That was impressive, though, man. You managed to shout him down in stride on the interview. That's pro.
Hey, you know, you gotta be able to transition. It's a gift, I guess. I don't know.
Steve, what have you been doing the last couple weeks, the last month, to be getting ready or staying sharp, at least on some level? And has that changed over the last few days?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't changed a whole lot. You know, I think maybe the last couple weeks after we heard the report of, you know, the June 10th date getting thrown out there by whoever. I mean, you have to kind of plan for that. You can always back off again, but. You know, so maybe I've upped my throwing, you know, I've gotten my throwing up to 5 days, my swinging up to 5 days. And I've been working out 5-6 days a week anyway, so that hasn't changed a whole lot. But definitely starting to really get ready for an abbreviated spring training in case that happens. So But I'm still doing the long toss stuff, and I'm social distancing. I've been with my family pretty much exclusively for the last 7 weeks, besides grocery store and things like that. So my wife's been my throwing partner and my flipper when I'm doing side toss and things like that. So she's been a trooper.
Yeah. Now, so you've got to give the scouting report on your wife because she's a heck of an athlete too.
Yeah, she is. She was a college basketball player at the Azusa Pacific University, as I like to say. And she scored 1,000 points while playing all five positions. So she's definitely the athlete in the family. I mean, it's ridiculous. She never played fast pitch. She never played softball. And she's out to 120, 150 like you wouldn't believe it. It's really not missing a beat. I've got a great catch partner and very blessed in that regard. So.
That's great.
He's a freak of an athlete.
We're visiting with Steven Vogt. Hey, I want to go back a couple weeks ago because I had a chance to talk to you in the other gig a little bit before you did this, but you got a chance to do a Zoom call with a bunch of little leaguers in the Valley here. What was that like, and what were some of your favorite moments from that?
Man, that was so much fun. It was a great event. You know, and the hard part with that is I love being able to see kids' faces when you get a chance to talk to them because you can see when they light up and how much they truly love it. But it was so great because, you know, I think we had a little over 200, you know, users logged in. So however many people that was. But we were able to answer some questions like, what's your favorite part of playing baseball? What do you have advice for a 7-year-old who's just starting? You know, things like that. Like, and all of these questions, there was nothing about X's and O's. It was, how can I try to have the most fun? Should I try different positions? Should I do? And man, I just truly enjoyed the questions from kids because that's the stuff that matters, is getting people excited about our game and bringing a little bit of joy to these kids' lives that aren't getting to play Little League right now. And man, I loved it. I loved Little League from everything from the pants to the, you know, belt and getting a snow cone after the game. I mean, it was all great.
Well, Steven, what's the temperature of Little League out there with our youngsters and our youth? Are they into the game? Are they impatient that there's no baseball now? Is it less so than when you were a youngster? Is it better? Where are we at right now with the young kids?
I'll be honest. I feel like I mean I'm not as plugged in with that level as I used to be. I used to do a lot of lessons and things like that, and now with my own kids, you know, my boys will be starting soon. But I know in my local leagues back home in Olympia, the Little League has really gotten watered down by travel ball. You know, and I've watched nephews and friends play at these levels where they're leading off and stealing at these young ages. And I don't know, maybe I'm kind of old school, but I think the Little League format teaches these kids how to play baseball. You know, they actually learn how to field a ground ball, turn a double play. They learn how to throw it down to second, things like that. But I do think travel baseball has really taken over the youth and amateur games. And obviously, you get to a certain age, I think it's a good thing. But for the younger kids, that's where I learned how to play. And so I'm hoping that it continues to catch on, but maybe Little League gets an uptick in play in the near future.
Yeah, there's an economic factor involved there, too, because a lot of families might not be able to afford to play travel ball.
Exactly. I mean, I know, you know, I have a friend who he joined a youth travel team at seven and unders. And the reason was is because it's nearly impossible to make the team at 10 or 11. So you need to, you know, start paying all this money at that age. It really is keeping a lot of people from enjoying the game at that level. And so I'm really hoping that the Little League thing comes back around.
Steven, growing up for you, was it just baseball? Were you a guy that played multiple sports? Did you have success in other sports?
I did, yes. I loved – baseball was probably my second favorite sport to play, and that was all the way up through high school. I played basketball and loved the game of basketball and playing it more than anything. I felt like it was high-paced. You know, your decision-making is so quick. You know, it's a fast-paced, athletic game. I felt like it made me 10 times better at baseball. I felt like it made me 10 times better of a game caller because I'm playing – guard in basketball, I'm having to make these quick decisions. In baseball, you have more time, obviously. So, and then I really enjoyed playing soccer. I mean, I played some flag football. I ran track. I did as many things as I could. I just loved being active and love sports and still do.
Hey, Steven, before we let you go, real quick, just based on the way conversations have gone in the last week, how optimistic are you that we'll get a season off the ground this year?
I mean, I think I'm very optimistic we'll get a season off the ground. What it looks like, when it'll happen, Those are obviously way above my pay grade to figure out right now. But for me, I do truly believe that we are going to do a season. I think that's one thing I know that the players in MLB were on the same team with, is that we want to play, but we want to do it when it's safe, when it makes sense, and we can, you know, go from there. So I do feel very optimistic we will have some sort of baseball in 2020.
Steven, how long does that season need to be, do you think, for the players to believe that it's worthwhile? Is there a number we can only go so low before we have to start thinking about punting on this?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think for me, it's got to be in the 50 to 60 game range. That's my own personal opinion. Is, you know, that prevents, you know, a team getting hot for a month. That kind of weeds out and makes it to where you're going to have some competitive balance as far as, well, they just got hot and that's how they got in the playoffs, or they just, you know, we got off the slow start. You know, it's going to be a different season, but to me, 50 or 60 games will allow for maybe an expanded playoffs on top of that too. So I think we should get creative and just have some fun with it and try and get as many games in as we can safely.
Steven, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us and for your insight. We'll let you get back to being scooter cop in the neighborhood. So keep those kids off the street, will you?
I know. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. It was fun catching up a little
bit. Steven.
All right. Take
care.
Steven Vogt, the catcher for the Diamondbacks, who just signed this winter, and you can already hear he's going to be I've said it a few times, he's going to be a real favorite here.
I can't believe he's not sick of you yet.
Oh, he definitely is. He definitely is. But he's such a nice guy that he can't say it. He just can't come out and say it. He's too good a person, so.
Well, somebody has to be.
All right, so next week, Gubb's Greatest will return. Remember, Thursday night, again, Fox Sports Arizona, Throwback Thursday. It's Game 5 of the 2001 NLCS. The perfect day coming up here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, with Randy Johnson a part of that. That'll be on Monday and the anniversary of his perfect game. So all of those things still coming up, and I'm sure that we'll have more next week on what is the latest in the proposal. As Bert pointed out earlier, listen, we're getting to the point where we're probably about 2.5 to 3 weeks out from them needing to make some decisions if, in fact, we're going to get a training camp started around June 10th and a start of a season around July. So, like, we're on the clock a little bit, and deadlines aren't necessarily a bad thing either. So,
for our producer, you can't get. I'm sorry, Mike. I was just going to say you can't get too cynical in the next day or two.
No, we got to go.
They got a ways to go here.
I can't even say goodbye to Luke and Leo. See you later.
Bye.